Alrighty.
I'd like to thank everybody for the birthday cake Friday. That was really sweet. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it looked cool.
I seen the picture. It looked really
good. You should have been there for cake. Yeah. I know you were busy.
Yeah, it was good
cake.
It was
really good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, thank you for sending me a piece.
Yeah, she packaged us up a couple. Yeah.
More like Chinese cake.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Where is my... All right, Habakkuk. Actually, it's pronounced many different ways. Habakkuk, Habakkuk. You know, we've heard it in different ways. How many have studied the book of Habakkuk? Dennis, well, that's cool. It is a very cool book, and I've really been looking forward to Habakkuk and Zephaniah. That's the next week. For several reasons, but you notice there's no map with Habakkuk. Yeah, it's a very different book. It's a book that doesn't really talk about the nations. It doesn't really talk about a lot of the things that we've been talking about. It does talk about Babylon, but Habakkuk is a book that is really has a message for us and the things that we are all going through. We are all in the book of Habakkuk. It is the book of why, which is kind of a big question. I mean, a big question of mankind. Why? Why are we here? Why are things the way they are? The book of Habakkuk is a book of, it's a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. And he is asking God, why? Why are things the way they are? So, very cool book. So we'll get into it and we'll look at some of the questions he asks. On your handout there, everyone has a handout. Everyone have a pen? There's really not a lot of writing in this one. I don't even have a candy bar bonus question because I just kind of blew through it. But it was written, kind of remember the timeline that we've been talking about. Remember how there's the northern kingdoms, the 10 tribes of the north. They get taken to Assyria. When Habakkuk writes, the northern kingdom is gone. Remember we talked about like Nahum a few weeks ago, or maybe that was last week. The northern kingdoms go away. When Habakkuk writes, he writes at the same time as Jeremiah. If you kind of, you may not all have this. I passed this out back in the Chronicles, I think the Chronicles, or maybe Isaiah. Jeremiah, Zephaniah, which we'll talk about next week, and Habakkuk all wrote around the same time. And they're writing right before the Babylonians take Judah away for 70 years. And the way you can look at Habakkuk, like Jeremiah is a big book, 52 chapters. And he goes into Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, goes into a lot of detail about Babylon destroying Jerusalem. Habakkuk, it would be like the trailer. You know, Jeremiah is the movie, the big 2-hour movie. Habakkuk is just a little trailer. There's just a couple chapters that talk about what's going to happen. And so that's kind of one way of looking at it. So they were written about the same time. You know, I put 625 thereabouts on your handout. Short book, only 3 chapters. Written by Habakkuk, 725. The 50,000-foot summary on your handout, point B. Habakkuk deals with overcoming fear and doubt when your faith is tested. And I think that's something we can all relate to because we have all had our faith tested. We all have fears. We all have doubts. And Habakkuk, you know, these Old Testament guys, these little books in the Old Testament are just loaded with these really good principles for us. And unfortunately, they're just not taught much. you know, you remember Hosea, we talked about a few weeks ago, he married Gomer. You know, that's a great book on how much God loves us and sacrificed for us. And Habakkuk is another great book that teaches us that it's okay to ask God questions. It's okay to ask God why. And that's what Habakkuk does. All right, point C, the key verse in Habakkuk is in 2:4, behold, his soul is lifted up, which is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, we've probably all heard that verse, the just shall live by faith. I was telling Sherry the other day, that was actually the verse that got a hold of Martin Luther that sparked the Reformation.
Yeah.
I think it was around the 1500s. I know it was on October 31st, but I don't have time to get into all that. But it's a very powerful verse that really, that is, it's kind of the sum of what, how would you say it? What God, how we get saved. You know, Moses started out with the law, and he had all these things they needed to do, and Noah built a boat, you know, and Abraham did some things, and all these guys were asked to do some things, and we're asked to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you boil it all down, the just shall live by faith. That's how man is justified, saved to in God's eyes. It's a deep thought when you really think about it, but when you really boil it down, that's God asks different people to do different things to get justified in God's eyes and find his grace and his favor. And he did us as well. And in our age, we're to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. That's how we are justified. But that gets off into another tangent. But this is a very powerful verse that's hidden away in the book of Habakkuk. It's quoted 3 times in the New Testament. I listed out the 3 times in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. And each time it's used, Paul focuses on a different part of that sentence, you know, the righteous, how a person is made right before God. In Galatians, it's more about how we're made alive by our faith, not by doing the law. It's a pretty interesting study, and it also kind of matches up to the 3 chapters in Habakkuk. But anyway, I didn't want to get into that a whole lot. But so it's a very cool verse. It's a very powerful verse. Just shall live by faith. Now, point D, Christ in Habakkuk, he shows up in chapter 3:18 where he's God of my salvation. So we'll get to that chapter. We'll read that verse a little bit. All right, who is Habakkuk? Who is this guy with the strange name? Habakkuk. It sounds like something you're...
Sounds like
someone
off of Star Wars.
Yeah, really. It's a weird name. It's actually named, there's some kind of Assyrian plant. It's a herb. It's called Love's Embrace, One Who Embraces. It kind of means to hug, or, you know, like a clinger. I always think of him as clinger.
It's Amita's word. She's a hugger.
Yeah.
Amita likes to hug.
Yeah, she's a Habakkuk. And the word embrace, it's not so much just a hug. It's like a wrestler's grip. It's like to really grab onto somebody. I know Dennis said he's a hugger, so he does the Habakkuk. So, very little is known about this guy. You know, our Jewish friends, they teach several different theories. You know, I read Rashi. I've mentioned Rashi a few times. He's kind of the Jewish, I don't know what you call him, Schofield, or he does a lot of their commentaries. But he kind of teaches that Habakkuk was actually the son that was raised from the dead with Elisha and a Shunammite woman. The timing doesn't line up, so I don't really buy into that. Some people think he was part of the folks that got taken to Assyria, but the timing elements don't match up in those. But people do agree that, and at one point in here, is that he was probably a Levite from Judah working in the temple. So just imagine Habakkuk is a priest in the temple. Does anyone remember anything about priests, like their age or what they did or anything like that? Priests, you know, you were born into the family. It was the family business. You worked in the temple as kind of a helper until you were, 30, I think it was. And then you become a bona fide priest. So that was probably Habakkuk. He was probably a priest in the temple. So, he is often called the Doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. Does anyone remember who Thomas was in the New Testament? Thomas was the guy that asked Jesus when Jesus came back, I want to see the holes in your hand and I want to put my thing in hand in your side. So seeing is believing with Thomas. So Habakkuk, the reason he's called the Doubting Thomas is because of his questioning of questions he posed to God. So, all right. So in he was preaching at the same time as Jeremiah. There is a verse in Habakkuk 1:5, there the last point on your handout, that where God's going to do something big. It's quoted by Paul in Acts 13:41. Which is kind of interesting because the book of Habakkuk, all these prophets, we've talked about this many times. When we started out, all of these prophets are talking about end time things in the future. All of their stuff has double prophecy. And I mentioned it last week. Every verse, every chapter, every passage has multiple applications. It's got a historical application. Habakkuk was a real guy. He wrote this book. It's about the coming of Babylon, on and on. That's historically. Now, prophetically, the book is really about the second coming of the Lord and a lot of the end time things that go on. Actually, the Antichrist is brought up and his head wound and some things that we won't get into, but for us, it's about God doing something big in our lives and kind of paving the way for our salvation. But we'll get into that. It's kind of a hard book to teach because of the three different themes are so strong in this book. I want to go off on a tangent on one or the other, but I really can't. So, all right. In Acts, this is how I got off on that tangent. In Habakkuk, God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to do something big. So big, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be amazing. And when he's talking to Habakkuk, that short-term fulfillment of that was the Babylonians coming. Well, Paul uses that same verse that God's going to do something big when he's talking about Jesus coming, Jesus being that big thing in the book of Acts. So it's kind of cool. Tying them together. So
she was trying to hide underneath the chair.
Trying to hide. That's Zephaniah. He's the hider. That's next week. All right. So the outline of Habakkuk. Let's get into this here. Unique style. I put on your handout in the middle of page 2 that the book of Habakkuk is a conversation between Habakkuk and God. That's what the book is. And what we see in Habakkuk is, I call it the journey of faith that Habakkuk is getting ready to go on. And it's the same journey of faith that all of us are on. And that's what I'm saying. All of us are in the book of Habakkuk somewhere, and we're going to take a look at it. We see him go. He starts out in chapter 1. He's kind of a doubter, a lot of fear and uncertainty. And by the end of the book, in chapter 3, he's worshiping. So this book really shows us how we can go from fear and doubt and uncertainty to worship, faith, and trust. So it's a very cool book. Very cool. All right, so let's get to the chapter outline. Let's crack it open. Everybody try to find Habakkuk. We should have like a a stopwatch to see how long it takes us. It's a little book, Habakkuk. Is everyone there? You guys are already there. Wow. All right. So this book breaks. It breaks up by chapters, like a lot of these books do. The first chapter is about wondering, where is God? All right, so can someone read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4?
I'll read it, Jim.
All right.
1 through 4.
One through 4.
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, the Lord, how long shall I cry, but thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee? The violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, and spoiling and violence are before me? And there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen,
oh, that's good. Just 4. Perfect. 1 through 4. All right. That's kind of hard to follow, so I'm going to bust it down to what's going on. Verse 1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet saw. So Habakkuk, like I said, he was a man of God. He was working in the temple. He was involved in ministry. He was playing with his phone.
No, I was trying to say.
I'm just teasing you. Actually, he kind of was. He was a guy plugged into ministry. He's serving God, okay? And he's picking up his daily paper, the Jerusalem Post or whatever, and he's reading about shootings. He's reading about school shootings, bar shootings, all the stuff that we read about. Convicts, escape. I mean, all the bad stuff in the world he's reading about. And he's probably not seeing a lot of fruit from his preaching and from his ministries. There's no one signing up for D1 or anything. So he's starting to get kind of discouraged. He's like, man, what's going on? So look at, he says down there in verse 2, Habakkuk says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and wilt that not hear? And that's not a question mark. That's an exclamation point. And that's one of the rules of Bible study, you know, is punctuation is just as important as other things. Paragraph marks, question marks, colon, semicolon, they all have meaning. So Habakkuk is he's discouraged. His prayers aren't getting answered. You know, the wickedness is going on. In verse 3, why do you show me the iniquity and cause me to behold all this grievance? You know, there's trouble everywhere. Jerusalem is supposed to be the city of God, and it's just a mess. And we know from the other prophets like Jeremiah and Zephaniah that were preaching at the same time that God's people are a mess right here. You know, it's actually a time of prosperity, but they're just the violence is in the streets. It's public. No one cares. In verse 4, the laws are being ignored, crimes going unpunished, all the fruits of sin are just in plain sight for everyone to see. So what happens is, and this is where our journey of faith kind of comes in. Let's say, I'm going to have to draw this where everybody can see it. And I'm going to draw a little skull here. Okay, all of us were born dead in our sin and trespasses. Okay, we are not born saved. We know that. And there's some point in our life when we have to, we hear the gospel, we trust in the Lord, and we ask Him into our heart, we get saved. That starts a journey of faith. That starts you on a new journey. So we'll turn our skull into a smiley face. All right, so here you are. You're a new Christian. In Habakkuk 1, so you're coming along and you're growing. And when you're first saved, and this is actually this way with anything, a new job, a new marriage, whatever. When you're first saved, my smiley face don't look good.
Where's his little arms and legs?
Yeah, that's true. When we're first saved, you know, it's exciting being a young Christian. We're learning about the Bible. We're learning new things. Church is fun. Messages are fun. You're getting plugged into K-Love and all the cool music that we hear on the Christian radio. And it's just, life is good. Your prayers are being answered. You're parking spots at the front at Walmart. I mean, it's just, it's awesome.
Stoplights
are always green. You know, your job's going good, and they're talking about promoting you, this and that. Well, then you kind of get to where Habakkuk's at in chapter 1. So he's kind of hit the peak here. And he's saying, wait a second now. Things aren't as fun as they used to be. No more parking spots. Lights are red. People aren't getting saved anymore. I'm getting passed up from promotions at work. There's all this violence going on. I mean, I can't even go to a movie theater without somebody opening up on us, you know, with a gun or something. It's very sad, desperate times that Habakkuk's in. And he's starting to question God. And he asks God in verse 3, why do you show me these things and cause me to spoil? And why is this going on? He's asking, why are you letting me see this violence? And he's entering kind of what we call, it's a crisis of belief. It's kind of his season of doubt. I'm going to call it season of doubt. All right. So we're going to kind of continue reading on here. So this is like Habakkuk 1. I'm just going to write chapter 1. And I actually drew this in your handout. It's like maybe the last page. I did. It's a better drawing of this. Yeah, this is all crooked. So in chapter 1, Habakkuk is questioning God. Why are you allowing sin to go on unpunished? And why are you letting me see it? This ain't what I signed up for when I asked the Lord into my heart down here. Things are getting pretty rough right now. All right, so let's look at God. God responds to his question in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. All right, and it's paragraph mark. I don't know, does everyone have a paragraph mark? A lot of Bibles don't. But it's really, you know, mine didn't either. I've had to actually get through the years, I've added my paragraph marks. But God comes in verse 5, and he says, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, wonder marvelously. This is what God's telling him. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, even though I'm going to tell it to you. Well, here's what God's going to do about all this sin. Verse 6. For lo, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. So it'd be like, okay, lo, I'm going to raise up ISIS, or the North Koreans. That bitter and hasty nation shall march through the breadth of your land. They're going to possess all your stuff. They're going to tear up your city. They're going to take you all captive. Yay! That's what I'm going to do about this sin. So now in chapter 2, Habakkuk is squarely in this cloudy period. Like, what is going on? You know, God, this is not the answer I was expecting. So verse 12, Habakkuk asks his second question. And he says, okay, God, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? He's questioning God. He said, God, well, let me read the verse and I'll go through it. O Lord my God, my Holy One, we shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them, Babylonians, for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them, the Babylonians, for correction. Verse 13. He's talking to God, thou art of pure eyes. You are too pure to behold evil, and you cannot look on iniquity, sin. Why are you looking upon them that deal treacherously, and they and hold your tongue when that wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? And then he goes on in verse 14 saying that, that they make men as fishes of the sea. You know, they're killing people like fish in a barrel. They have no ruler over them. In verse 15, when they do kill all these men like fish in a barrel, then they're giving praise to their God that they are taking over our land. I mean, they're giving the glory to the Babylonian gods. So what Habakkuk is saying is, okay, God, you're supposed to be pure and righteous. You can't look on sin. But you're going to bring in the Babylonians, the heathen that they are, and you're going to use them to punish us. How can you do that? You know, and he even...
Sorry.
Yeah, I got Dale, got an important one. Let's go back to verse 12. There's a couple things that stand out.
Come on,
that's all right. All right, when Habakkuk is talking about the Babylonians, he said, Lord, thou hast ordained them. Well, first off, he says, thou shalt not die. Habakkuk knows, this goes back a ways, but Habakkuk knows that he is part of God's people. We are God's people. God is not going to destroy Habakkuk. There's the sure mercies of David. There's promises involved that God made to his people where Habakkuk is confident that he's not going to destroy him. We have those same promises. God is not going to destroy us. However, it says in verse 12, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for our correction. Okay, now this is kind of a cool thought about the evil in the world. And it kind of goes back to when Joshua and the guys went into the promised land. It actually says that God left giants in the land to help try the faith of the Israelites that were taking possession. God allows giants in our land, in our life, to try our faith, to test us. Is that kind of tracking with me there? Yeah. You know, it's actually an interesting study. This is a tangent, but I think it's interesting. The Philistines that are in the Gaza Strip today, at the same time Joshua and the boys were marching into the Promised Land, the Philistines were coming in from Crete. God was bringing them in. So it's like God was bringing in the Israelites, and he was also bringing in some giants to kind of help try their faith. So the giants in our lives, you know, are the flat tires, it's the bad people at work, it's the violence in the streets, it's all the stuff we put up with are here to try our faith. Yeah, Dennis.
Including cancer.
Cancer, sickness, disease,
yeah.
All that, yeah. And that's what Habakkuk is going through here. So he's getting ready to go into chapter 2, and he's in this life ain't what I thought it would be when I decided to walk with God, and I've hit the mountain, and now I'm in this funk. Like, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't make sense. Why would the Babylonians, why are you going to allow these wicked guys to come in and destroy us? Not destroy, but to chastise us. Chastise. So let's see what Habakkuk does about it. And that takes us to chapter 2. Actually, in chapter 1, I do have the Do the Habakkuk. What Habakkuk does now is, it's what I put in your handout, and it's on the bottom of page 3. He does the Habakkuk. I thought of it. I thought it was cute. His name means embrace. When you're in this, draw this. Get a different color. I'm not a good drawer. That's a foot. This is God's foot. Okay, you guys know, I think all of us have had kids. When your kids want you to do or not do something, they'll just grab onto your leg and you got to drag them around. So when you're, what Habakkuk does here, When he's in his season of doubt, just like us, when we've decided this ain't what I signed up for, why is God allowing, why is he doing all this stuff, we have some choices. We can do like Jonah. Remember, Jonah just ran. He just ran from God, and he just, I guess, kind of run back here and just kind of just stay in the happy things of being a Christian. Most of us, unfortunately, would kind of go back to square one, just give up. This Christian life ain't what I thought it was going to be, and this is too hard, and none of this makes sense anymore. The messages aren't good at church. They're not speaking to me. I'm just not even going to go. I'm not going to be in ministry. I'm just going to do my thing. That's what a lot of us do, unfortunately, and they don't ever make it to the level, chapter 3, that we're going to get into here in a second. So what Habakkuk does in his season of doubt at the end of chapter 1 is he grabs onto God's leg and embraces it. That's his name. He's an embracer. He's a clinger. He's a hugger. He's got a wrestle grip on God's leg. He is just going to ride this through and see where God takes him in faith that God knows what he's doing. And that's what Habakkuk does. And that's what starts in chapter 2. Could someone read 2:1? I got to get another drink. Chapter 2, verse 1.
I was sitting upon my watch, sitting me upon a tower, and will watch to see what he was saying to me, and why I shall answer when I am reproved.
Yes, thanks, Dale. That's a cool verse. And that's the grabbing onto the leg. Habakkuk, he gets away from the noise of the city, he gets on his tower and he watches. And this verse is kind of loaded with a lot of cool things. When he's doubting God, he's just going to quiet down and wait and watch. And I actually put in your handout what he does. He watches, he writes, and he waits. So he gets alone with God in this prayer tower, and he waits on God. Now, when the word wait, when he's waiting on God, doesn't mean that he just quits doing stuff. I mean, a waiter still serves. You think about it, at a restaurant, a waiter is a server. He's still plugging away. He's still in the temple. He's still doing his thing. He's just waiting. He's waiting on God to answer his questions. He had two of them in chapter 1. All right, so look at verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. All right, so I've mentioned several times, what God tells him to do now is write. Write down stuff. So, and this is a good principle for us, is our prayer journals. I've kept one for years. I'm sure some of you guys do too. Things that when we're in our season of doubt and we're not sure what's going on, we're praying for people to get saved, we're praying for situations at work, with our health, or whatever, it is so important to write those things down. God will answer your prayer someday. Some of them you may not see, but he'll answer your prayer. And by having it in a journal, it is so cool to go back over the years and see the answered prayers. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk to do, is write this down for future generations. Everyone's going to know what I'm getting ready to tell you, and it'll be a written record that you can look back on when he gets to chapter 3. So that's kind of cool there. I like that writing it. I love writing stuff down like that. All right, so look at verse 3. Let me move my little ribbon here. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So God's got his clock, and at the end of it, it shall speak, and it won't lie. And though it, the vision, the thing, the amazing thing that God's going to do is going to tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, the word tarry, I had to look that up. I wanted to get the exact word. 1828 Webster, tarry, the word tarry is like to wait or delay something. So God's telling him, this big thing that's going to come, it's going to come. You're going to have to wait for it. But it will come. what kind of God's saying. And then he says in verse 4, behold, his soul is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, he's actually talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He's saying, Nebuchadnezzar, these bad guys out here, they're not good. Their heart is lifted up. The just shall live by faith. But for us, it's like... it's like a comparing the unbelievers and the believers. People that are unbelievers, well, I don't want to go there too far, but we as believers, we're justified by our faith in God, by hanging onto God's foot. That's kind of, I'm going to leave that. And he goes, and then he starts in verse 5, talking more about the Babylonians that. He talks about how bad they are. He actually gives them five woes. Like verse 6, there's a woe. The Babylon. He kind of goes through the rest of chapter 2 talking about all the bad stuff the Babylonians do. All right, so that's fine. Let's leave that. So back in our season of doubt, Habakkuk is here. God has just told Habakkuk that I'm going to chastise your people with a people worse than you. And... Habakkuk is clinging to God for his faith. Now this, man, my thoughts are scrambled because there's a lot of cool things going on here with some end time things. But when we're in our season of doubt, the Bible tells us, it's in 2 Corinthians, I think 5:7, walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, we've heard that. And how this applies with Habakkuk is he sees the Babylonians. And so the observable things that he sees are scary. But God's telling him to walk by your faith in this promise. I'm going to do something awesome. And it's the same thing for us. When we look outside these walls, we see Babylon raging. We see all the stuff that goes on. And it's frightening. And God is telling Habakkuk to walk by faith, trust in Him that He's going to pull you through this, and then it'll make sense. And then I think in my own life, when I look at myself, you know, I see Jim, the dirty dog, you know, I do things wrong every day. When I look at me through my eyes, it's like looking at the Babylonians in a way that it doesn't make sense. Why would God save me for this cool work? Because I'm like nothing. You know, so we can't look at ourselves. That's when we look by sight. But when we look by faith, you know, I'm the son of the King, and he dwells in me. When I go to Walmart, I take him there. When I go to anywhere I go, I take him there. Yeah, Dale.
I just want to comment Romans 10:17. As faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. You don't focus on things like you said and you see. You focus on what God has written about us. We are a child of the King, as you said.
Yes, you're exactly right. So when we focus on God and we stay clinging to His leg, that's when He takes us through this season of doubt. And there will be a day when we go up to the next level. And that's what chapter 3 takes us to. At the end of chapter 2, the real turning point, I think is cool, is in verse 20. If you look at 2:20. God just spends a whole chapter talking about how the Babylonians are bad and all the wickedness in the world. Well, then in verse 20, he says, but, and there's always a thing with buts, but the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. And that's pretty neat. I mean, when you read the chapter in context, and you're reading about all these bad things that these people are doing, you know, they're getting their neighbors drunk so they can take advantage of them, they're stealing each other's land, I mean, they're just doing all these bad things in chapter 2, and it's that whole confusion, like, man, what's going on here? Well, then you get to verse 20, but God is in His temple, and let all the earth be silenced before him. God knows what he's doing. And all this is going to be made right someday. And just have faith in him that he's going to make it right. Because that's what he's telling Habakkuk. Alright, so that takes us to chapter 3. Any questions on chapter 1 and 2? Has anyone been here? Hopefully I'm not the only one. Yeah. I've spent a lot of time here. Yeah, it's sad. It can be a dark place. It's hard to really cling to his promises sometimes. Yeah, Dale?
Yeah, Habakkuk 2 was the verse Jeff Adams when he took over Kansas Baptist Temple from Truman R.
Oh, yeah.
And when they did that big expansion,
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah, it's Habakkuk's a neat book. You know, I can't give it justice in 45 minutes, but he really starts out, you know, he's a prophet, like I said, and he starts out serving God, and he really goes through this dark time trying to wrestle with why is God allowing bad people to do bad things to good people, his people. And we all have that season of doubt. And I've had people in my family die, and we all go through our season of doubt. So I would just encourage you that when you're going through that, just do the Habakkuk, you know, cling to God, and he'll get you through it. And then be assured that he is still in his holy temple, like in verse 20. And let all the earth keep silence. I love that verse. That's a very neat verse. So now chapter 3, now we're through. So now Habakkuk, yeah, Dennis?
Just a quick comment.
Yeah, you bet.
One of the verses I generally, as I'm going through this chemo stuff, was in Psalm 37.
Okay.
Comparison passage.
Yeah, let's go to it. What is it?
Psalm 37, verse 3.
All right, let me get there. Psalm 37,
3. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee desires of thine heart.
Now.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
Yeah, that's a good partner passage with this. That's what he's doing.
Because you trust him, you delight in him, you commit your way to him,
yeah,
and then you rest.
Yep. That's a good outline. That'll preach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's something God, you're talking about Habakkuk.
Yeah, it is cool. And on top of that, I think I put it on the drawing in your handout. Because this verse has meant something to me, Mark 9:24. Sometimes when I'm in my season of doubt, there's a story in Mark. I'm pretty sure it's 9:24. I want to make sure I put it in the handout. Yeah. In that cloud there. Mark 9:24 is a story where Jesus, a man had a sick child, and he took the child to Jesus to heal. And Jesus said, "Yeah, I'll take care of your son. Don't you believe? Or, you know, do you believe?" And the man says in 9:24, "Yes, you know, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." Because a lot of times when I'm in my season of doubt, yeah, I believe. I mean, I know the word, and I've been in it for many years. But sometimes I need help with my unbelief. And I've asked that of the Lord many times. Is God, help me to believe. And help me to cling on and be this clinger. And just trust in you and ride this thing through. And that's, so I like that verse in Mark 9:24. So Habakkuk does, and he turns the corner. Now, in chapter 3, look at verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Now, the Shigionoth, that's a term used in Psalms a few times, and that this passage is basically a psalm. It's a song. And only the priests were allowed to. The Shigionoth, they think, is a guitar kind of thing. And only the priests had access to the instruments and writing of the songs. So this is one reason why we are pretty sure he's a temple priest. Because he's writing a psalm. And he actually gives it to a song leader. So that kind of puts it to rest there. But what he does is pretty cool. When he writes this song, the first thing that Habakkuk does is he starts, and I put it in your handouts, he does these three things. He remembers, he breaks out his prayer journal, and he starts remembering where God has taken him. He starts out how God came from Teman in verse 3. He's kind of retracing the path of the Israelites out of Egypt and kind of recollecting all that God has done for God's people. So he's kind of reading through that in verse 3. Talks about some of the trials of the children of Egypt, or the children of Israel. Well, the cool thing, he gets in verse 17. Well, let me cover my three. He remembers what God has done. In verse 16, he accepts this bad judgment. All right, look at chapter 3, verse 16. When I heard these, you know, when he's talking about whenever Habakkuk heard what God's going to do with via the Babylonians, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble when he cometh up to his people and he will invade them with his troops. So here is where he accepts God's word. He's upset, his lips are trembling, he's scared. Just like, you know, I'm sure Dennis, I mean any of us, when we get faced with some medical issues or things in life, we're scared. But he accepts it, and he knows that God's in control, and he's going to trust in him in the day of trouble. And he even uses the word rest. And it kind of reminds me of Dawn. You know, we seen Dawn last week, and man, it's just such a sweet disposition. I mean, she has gotten some terrible news lately, and she's living here big time. But she was just sweet about it. She's trusting the Lord. Just real inspiration. We had a good chat with her. I'm sure Steve did too. So she accepts it. So we accept. Number two. In your handout there, number three, trust. He's going to trust God. All right, look at verse 17. This is where Habakkuk really shines too here. Verse 17, Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock will be cut off, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The God is my strength. He'll make my hind feet like hinds feet. He'll make me to run and walk on the high places. So Habakkuk realizes in verse 17 that although I'm not going to have any food, we're not going to have any drink, we're not going to have any animals, we're getting ready to get destroyed, all these bad things are getting ready to happen to me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So under the threat of all of this bad stuff, Habakkuk is able to really look past it and know that God is going to, is his salvation. And he has joy in it. So by going through this, Habakkuk now is up here where we should be. And actually, he's ready for his next. And what it does is through your life, it'll be a series of climbs. Yeah, Dale.
And when I served Jeff, truth going to the book of Daniel, and Daniel 3:18 implies that we all need to be at. And that's exactly where Habakkuk was.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Can you read that, sir?
Daniel 3:18?
Yes, sir.
Is that the Old Testament?
No, I didn't.
All right, if I can find Daniel here. Ezekiel, it's coming up. Daniel 3:18, let's have a look.
Adon Shag, Meshag, Abednego, we're getting thrown in the fire burning.
All right, Daniel 3:18 says, but if not, okay, they're praying for salvation.
And I'll read 17.
Okay, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
As we're back, would that apply?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they were in the furnace. They had bad judgments on them. They were going to perish, but they wouldn't bow. So, all right. So, like I said, all of us in this room are somewhere in Habakkuk's faith journey. Okay? Hopefully all of us know the Lord and we've turned our sentence of death to sentence of life. We're a smiley face. Some of us may be new Christians. We're just starting out on our walk. Things are good right now. And that's good. Don't be discouraged when things don't quite make sense anymore, because that'll come. And that's something whenever I'm discipling somebody, like going through D1, they're all excited, they're right here. I warn them that this is coming. It comes for everybody. You're going to have old girlfriends show up. You're going to have old boyfriends. You're going to have seemingly killer jobs come along. You're going to have things come into your life that's going to cause turmoil and send you into this cloud of doubt and fear, and it's going to derail you, and you're either going to go back to here or you're going to hide. You got to press through it and stay faithful and serve, cling to God, do the Habakkuk, and he'll get you through it, take you to the next level. And that's what the three chapters in Habakkuk show. So hopefully if anyone's in here this morning, walk by faith, not by sight. Don't look around at Babylon raging around us in your life. Continue on through. So, that's kind of Habakkuk. That's the end of the book. Any questions on any of that? Does that make sense? It's the journey we're all on. Next week's Zephaniah. Zephaniah, it's about hiding, God hiding people. Zephaniah will be the last of these prophets that's talking about Babylon. It's talking about captivity. So I'm kind of glad. It's like, man, we've been talking about Babylon for it seems like a year now. So anyway, Zephaniah is the last one of those guys. Yeah, Dennis?
Just one last time.
Yeah.
Another passage that God gave me in Psalm 77. You want to write it up there?
Psalm?
I won't read the whole thing, but I don't know if any of you ever feel like complaining to God. Anybody want to raise your hand and complain to God?
Yeah.
Okay. If you read Psalm 77, yeah, this is a complaint. It's a prayer.
Who wrote it? Did Asaph write that one, I wonder? What does it say?
Asaph, yeah.
Yeah.
He says, I won't read the whole thing, but he says he cried out to God. He complained. He couldn't sleep. He was upset. He had no rest. And if he realized that, if you read this passage, that he needed to draw close to God in the complaint and pour out his heart to God. And the bottom line is in verse 10.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at verse 10. That's where he looks at his prayer journal.
That's the kicker, right there.
Yeah.
Because that's the verse God gave me. But in the middle of a mess, when you're whining, complaining, can't sleep, and don't understand, it's like, okay, this is my infirmity, and I will remember. I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy work and the talk of thy doings. You have to remember that God's still there.
Exactly.
In the middle of it.
Yep.
Clinging onto that leg like you ain't gonna let go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good part of the verse.
Okay.
Yeah, cling it. Clinger. Class 5 clinger. All right, that's Habakkuk.
I was just gonna comment, I won't embarrass Melissa, but you did say this cloud of doubt is a little bit where you've been for the last week or so. Month or so.
Yeah, I was there for like a depression for a while.
And so you're kind of coming out of this.
Yes.
And hopefully it's